We are continuing to dig through the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Before we read that, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, may you open our hearts and minds to receive all that you'd have for us. Amen. Give us wisdom through the work of your Holy Spirit to discern the lofty things that you teach us. Amen. Change us, draw us closer to yourself through the person and work of your Son, Jesus. Amen. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Do not tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices, the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is God's word. So here Jesus' ministry is, of course, picking up steam. He has laid down, of course, the primary purpose for what he came or what he would do while he was here. That is preaching and teaching this message of salvation for everyone. He has performed miracles to prove to the people who he is and what he came to do, as well as express compassion and care toward those whom he would encounter. He has now picked some disciples to follow after him, to learn the deep things about who he is and the kingdom that he would proclaim. Jesus seems to be traveling about still, as we joined him this morning, preaching and teaching, doing miracles and the like. And what follows is, even though it's a short section, it's a beautiful display of Jesus' compassion and his power all in one. As we look at this text, let's break it down into three sections. First, we'll take a look at the humble approach of this man, and then Jesus' response to him, and then finally, the call that Jesus gives, and the response of the man. So here, Jesus is traveling. He is likely confronted by lots of people, and we see this. But this is the first time that Jesus is approached by someone who has leprosy. Now, it's debated, actually, what exactly leprosy is. Right? It's not necessarily what we would call Hansen's disease, which is commonly known as leprosy today. But most everyone agrees who studies it throughout the scriptures is that this is some sort of visible skin ailment, skin disease that was probably contagious and affected the well-being of the individual who had it, and in all likelihood, the greater community as well. So much so that when someone had it, right, the community knew that that person had to then be quarantined. There are laws throughout the book of Leviticus that direct the people to act in certain ways toward them. And this is what we see in Leviticus chapter 13 about those who have these skin diseases. It expresses a bit of how they had to live. It says this, anyone who has such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Now, this seems cruel, but that's not necessarily the intent here. Right? This wasn't a cruel punishment per se. Rather, it was a means to keep the individual safe, as well as the greater community, because the people were assumed contagious. And over time, though, as things often do, right, the people, things changed. The perception of the people changed. And they were almost cast out and rather than quarantined and continued looked after. Having leprosy often became associated with having a curse from God, misfortune, or quite frankly, blatant sinfulness, when of course this was never meant to be the case. So here's this man full of leprosy, who should have been quarantined outside of the town according to the law that we read in Leviticus, and especially if it's as bad as Luke describes it here in chapter 5, and yet he risks everything to come and see Jesus. And think about this. He is risking any sort of social position that he may have or be able to have by coming into the town like this. As bad as the skin condition probably was for him, often the social ostracization was worse. Stigmas, looks from people, people jumping to the other side of the street when you came down the road. And I would imagine, given that this is Roman times here in the Gospel of Luke, if they really wanted to, and you weren't listening as a leper, they probably could put you to death as well. As if there ever was one, this was especially not a good time to have leprosy. But yet the man risks it to see Jesus. This begs a question for all of us. Who are the lepers in your life? Now, most of us could probably think of that homeless person that that we see regularly on the street. They might fit into this category in our minds. We might think of someone who struggles with same-sex attraction. But I want to push beyond that for a moment. Because in reality, there are plenty of programs out there to help the homeless, even though we can debate on their effectiveness and whether that's really what they need. That's not my point here this morning. And let's be frank, at least culturally, views towards same-sex attraction have been positive and growing that way for the majority of our culture. I think more often than not, in our culture today, the lepers of our community are more ideological rather than physical. Recently, if you've been paying attention to American media, you've probably heard about all of these crazy conspiracy theories that center about the election, about COVID, and about this thing called QAnon. Recently, I read this article in the CBC that was trying to make the case that this conspiracy called QAnon has begun to make its way up here to Canada, especially into Canadian churches. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know if I agree with their assessment, at least all of it, but let's say for argument's sake that it has, that conspiracy has made its way into our churches, into our communities? Is it then our position that we are going to call people who struggle, people who are weak-minded, as they look for a means, some means to explain the way they see things in this world, even though they don't understand? Are we going to then call them unclean and cast them outside the camp? Or are we going to be the type of people who draw close to them, who pray for them, and are willing to talk to them? Now, hear me. This is not me justifying conspiracy theories or anything like that. But I know that it is not our place to write someone off whom we could act toward them with compassion. Especially when we as Christians, we have a worldview that helps us to explain all the things happening in this world. And as such, why wouldn't we share that with people who are confused and, quite frankly, probably hurting? What if somebody says something horribly offensive? Donald McNeil, writer for the New York Times, found himself in a bit of controversy this past week when it was discovered that during a trip to Peru, Mr. McNeil was having a conversation with a student over an incident that she said was saying that her friend was disciplined for using the N-word. When asking a follow-up question, Mr. McNeil used the slur itself to gain context. This use of the N-word was enough to eventually warrant an investigation into the incident. And when that investigation rendered unsatisfactory results, his co-workers rounded up 150 signatures to demand an apology, among other things. Eventually, this ended in Mr. McNeil's resignation in disgrace after a 45-year career. Mr. McNeil was no friend to those who are conservative-minded. He wrote for the New York Times, after all. So is this one of those moments when you cheered and smeared as they canceled one of their own, saying, ha ha, it's about time they got some of their own, as you calmly pushed him to the edge of the camp, claiming he was a leper? Let's be frank, it doesn't matter how you line up politically. The call of the Christian faith is not to make lepers out of people. That is not what we're called to do. Rather, we are called to serve people, to offer grace, and to converse with anyone who will hear us, anyone who will listen to the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, this is not a call to condone the words, the actions, the life choices of people who we are called to engage with. Because in fact, the Bible has a lot to say about these things. My friends, we don't get to be selective. The Bible calls us to be impartial and to engage all, no matter what, no matter your lifestyle, no matter your choices, no matter your ideologies. Amen. If you would push anyone outside the camp through your thoughts, through gossip, or otherwise, friends, today is the day to look in the mirror and realize that Jesus has made you clean. Amen. Couldn't he make anyone clean? Amen. At that point? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. As he approaches and says this, the leprous man falls before Jesus, prostrating himself before him in humility. Now pay attention to some of the language that he uses here. First, he addresses Jesus as Lord. Now, I'm not going to suggest to you that this man understands or recognizes Jesus for who he fully is yet. This is still the beginning of his ministry. Luke, though, uses the word Lord toward Jesus of those who do seem to recognize at the very least that God is working through him. And in this case, this man probably assumes that he is a prophet, which of course is partially true. In other words, he at least in this recognition sees Jesus for at least partly who he is. The question he asks of Jesus is actually addressed in the Greek in a condition of questioning or uncertainty. It's as if he's unsure of what Jesus is going to do with him. After all, he puts the ball in his court, right? He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he doesn't, in saying this, he doesn't assume for a second that Jesus cannot make him clean, but rather he says, if you are willing. Additionally, he doesn't outright ask for a healing either. Think about this. He says, you can make me clean. Being clean is a spiritual term that is used amongst Jewish culture and throughout the Old Testament. One who is unclean is unable to participate in the temple worship. And so you have to see that there is a deep spiritual layer in this encounter to what is happening here. Without a doubt, this man is looking for physical healing, right? That is implied, no doubt. But he also wants to be restored, to be reconciled, so he can engage in the worship of his God as well. And that comes first by him seeing that he is helpless and crying out for help because of it. Now, as we move forward to Jesus' response, look at what he says and how he says it. He says, I am willing, be clean. Now, if you didn't notice, between the man's approach to him and Jesus' response, there is a strong echo between the two of them. The man says, if you are willing, and Jesus responds, I am willing. The man says, you can make me clean. Jesus says, be clean. As he is speaking to him, he gives this subtle but incredibly important gesture as well. It says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, this is a simple, quiet touch that is not insignificant. Now, let's not forget that this is a leper that Jesus is dealing with here. A man who is supposed to be quarantined, right? Rightly or not. And that quarantine is at least in part because he might be contagious. He might get other people sick. Lepers were to do their best to keep distance between themselves and others, the people around them. And this is the reason for the raggedy dress and the shouting in the Leviticus text that I read earlier. And yet Jesus ignores all of this and he touches the man. A man who, in all likelihood, has had little to no touches for some time. Because let's not forget, Luke describes him as covered with leprosy. Think about this. How significant is this gesture for today, when we have been isolated for so long? This speaks to the intimate, speaks so intimately to our nature. And the fact that we need human touch. Right? We need human interaction with one another more than just through a computer screen. Jesus' compassion in this moment is so profound. And even with all that we have experienced over these past few months, really, as we think about this gesture, we've only begun to scratch the surface of how important it must have been for this man. But I want to suggest to you that it's actually much deeper than just a compassionate touch. It's also an incredibly spiritual touch as well. Remember, this man asked Jesus to make him clean. This means that at least while the leprosy was over him, he was unclean. And if you come into contact with anybody who is unclean, then you were made unclean as well. And so not only is Jesus risking getting sick by this touch, he is risking the opportunity to engage in worship at the temple as well as becoming unclean. But what happens as he touches him is, it's quite amazing. Jesus touches the man, and it's almost as if a reverse contamination happens. Right? Rather than Jesus being polluted by this leper, the leper is cleansed by Jesus' holiness. He receives the holiness of Jesus in this moment. I hope you see the gospel overtones in this passage so far. I've frequently said that the easiest ways for us to understand or describe the gospel message, to remind ourselves of it or others, is through three words. Right? Sin, salvation, service. Each and every one of us, right? Think about this, each and every one of us has sinned in our words and in our actions or inactions, quite frankly. And this, of course, is a horrible offense against God. In fact, so much so that it would cause us to be eternally separated from God's presence. The Bible tells us as well that there is no way for us to either earn our way back into God's good graces, to save ourselves. There's just no way that we can do it. We can't earn a restored relationship before God, no matter how good we are, no matter how hard we try. But God knew this, and he sent a Savior, Jesus, someone to restore us into right relationship with God by paying the penalty for our sin. And our first action then is to turn and accept this gracious gift and serve him as a response. And we have here this man, a leper, who recognizes that he cannot save himself. He needs a Savior. He has heard about this Jesus fellow, so he risks it all to humbly throw himself at his feet, begging him for help to deal with his condition physically, to deal with his condition spiritually. And Jesus responds generously and graciously with a touch that not only heals him, but makes him holy as Jesus is holy. And just as we are made holy as we put our faith and trust in Jesus, this is the beauty of the gospel message. I pray that anyone listening or watching this today or whenever, if you want that healing, that forgiveness, if you want restoration to the relationship that you could have with God, I pray that you would recognize your position and humbly come before Jesus asking for that healing and forgiveness, because he offers it freely to anyone who would put their faith in him. Amen. And if you're a Christian, I pray that this would be an encouragement to you as well. Remember, this is you. The message of the gospel says that even though you have stumbled, even though you have at times failed miserably, making lepers out of people you know that you should not have, Jesus will still pick you up and carry you forward. He will help you to see people as he sees them, because he has made you holy. He has set you apart for his good work, and he will continue to work in you and through you, inside and out, as he grows your faith and draws you closer to himself for his purposes. As we close, we've looked at the man's risky, humble response, right? His chasing after of Jesus. We've seen Jesus' response to him as well. But there is a call that Jesus makes of the man after he is healed. And this is where I want to focus as we wrap up here this morning. First off, note that this call is made after the man has been healed. Right? We see this beginning in verse 14. And this is important because it tells us that no matter how the man responds, right, no matter what he does from this point forward, he is not going to earn Jesus' favor. It shows that he is not going to suddenly take his cleansing away because he doesn't do what he says. This is what grace is. And it shows how free it is as well. And this is true for you also. Your actions, and at times your inactions, they're not earning for you any more or less of God's love or favor. If you have trusted in him, you have it. You have his love. You have his favor. And friends, that is good news. I don't know about you, but if it depended on me, on how good I was, or quite frankly, how I acted at times, I would have been left in the dust long ago. But the truth of the gospel tells us that it is free. And it is by God's grace that Jesus will love you and he will keep you and that he has accepted you. And in joy, he will help you to do all that he asks from here forward. And this is a bit of what we see in this man after he is healed. After he heals him, Jesus says to him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Now, there are probably several reasons why Jesus wanted him to be silent about this. Probably the main one, though, is that because he was not interested in drawing lots of attention and all kinds of crowds to him because of his miracles. But as we can see, the man didn't listen. Verse 15 tells us news about him continued to spread, and more crowds of people kept coming. Mark's account of this passage actually tells us explicitly that the man spoke freely about it. I guess it's not too surprising, though, really, if you think about it. A miracle has just happened to this man. He has his life back. He is filled with joy, and he wants everyone to see it. Friends, this should be our response to the gospel as well. When you realize what you have been saved from, and all that Jesus has given you, your life should be one filled with joy and thanks as you look to Jesus. Secondly, Jesus calls the man to go and to offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for his cleansing. In other words, given all that this man has received, Jesus is calling him to engage in worship. Worship because he has now been made clean. He has been made right before God. And this is what the gospel does for us as well. You too have been made clean by the life and by the blood of Jesus as he took your sins on the cross. And now because of that, friends, you are able to engage in true worship as our spirits are restored and reconnected to the God who created us the way they were meant to be. Friends, here's the thing. All of us are lepers. Each and every one of us need the healing touch of Jesus to be cleansed. If you have trusted in him, he has extended his touch to you. Receive it. Receive it and be comforted by it. Amen. Live with joy and worship, knowing that truth. Because the reality is, he is worth all the honor and praise we could possibly give him. Amen. And friends, if you have not trusted in him, my question to you is, what is holding you back? Today is the day to be clean, if you would put your faith in him. Let's pray. Father, you are the God of grace. You give us gifts of presence, of healing, of wonder, even before we even put any trust in you. Amen. The beauty of that is that there is so much more after we have trusted in you. Amen. Restoration, reconciliation. Father, we thank you that you are a God who draws us to yourself, that you sent your Son Jesus so that we could be restored. Amen. Thank you for your grace and your purpose in our lives. Amen. Grant us your peace and your forgiveness when we fail. Father, remind us always of that cleansing touch that you've given us. We always return to the truth of the gospel every day. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.